With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
No good, but we can heal it on a Sunday with a good book. But or if we kill it on a Monday for a good look. And make it part of the campaign to withstand pain. Me, myself, place it all on my shoulders and give it my all like heavy lifting. No game without tears and sweat. To claim blue skies with white clouds steady drifting. When pain come to get you, it hit you like flow. Better times will pick you. Do what you gotta do. To earn focus in the stormy weather. Come out the tunnel to the light saying.
Live well, win well. It's On Point with Wandle and Stokes right here on News and Talk. We are 1380 WAOK. We've got Dr. Adrian sharing with us today. Dr. Adrian is a licensed professional counselor and owner of Change Makers and A Change for All in Atlanta, Georgia. She practices psychotherapy in areas of expertise that actually includes individual therapy, group therapy, family therapy, stress management, depression, substance dependency, loss of employment, grief loss, anger management, life change coaching, and just so much more. She is so talented and so skillful. And we thank you, Dr. Adrian. Welcome to On Point.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Listen, I am doing the best I can with what I got and managing all that we got going on in this world.
I know that's right. I know that's right. It is a lot going on. You're certainly not new to WAOK. Oftentimes you host a relationship show on the weekends, and we just appreciate what you're doing in community and even with your practice, the things that you're doing to help change lives. So now, we're in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic. Mm-hmm. Why do so many people, and this may sound like a crazy question, but why do so many people have anxiety? And to those who have it, how can they deal with this anxiety, or how should they cope with it?
Well, Wanderlyn, research says that 70% of all adults have some form of stress and anxiety on a daily basis. And so that was, that has nothing to do with this pandemic that we are currently experiencing. That's just the normal research statistics surrounding stress and anxiety. So now that number, I'm sure, has increased, and it's probably more like 85% of all adults, because the bottom line is that, we struggle with things that are foreign to us. And this is foreign to everybody. I was having a conversation with my parents because, they're always my go-to when something different happens. And, I said, do you ever remember a time like this in your life? And, my father is struggling with the fact that they can't go into the church, because for older people, especially African Americans, that has always been a safe haven for us. So not being able to go somewhere that is familiar to you, it causes a lot of anxiety for a lot of people. And just, change is the only true constant that we have, but that does not make it easy. So a lot of times, we struggle as humans with change. We want things to be the way that they've always been.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. How does one understand that they're actually dealing with anxiety? Like you said, people on a regular basis deal with anxiety and stress. But now in the midst of this, with that being added, how does one recognize within their self that they are really stressed out and just anxious?
Well, on my podcast, Couch Conversations with Dr. Adrian, this week, I talked about panic attacks and anxiety because, I suffer from panic attacks. And, I always say I'm just not that special. And I know that if, as a therapist, it's something that I have to deal with, and I know how to manage it when it comes on. I know that there are a lot of people out here who are experiencing and don't know, exactly what it is, because it can be very frightening to have one. But, anxiety, usually has some symptoms that are associated with it that might include muscle tension, some sleep disturbance, some difficulty concentrating, being really, really tired, and kind of being restless and anxious. And so, we have to look at the ways that we respond to the things that are around us to kind of know if this is something that you're experiencing. Panic attacks are a little bit different because anxiety attacks usually happen over a longer period of time, whereas panic attacks come on very quickly and they are intense. And it might, include some shaking or some chest pains and heart palpitations, or feeling like you're choking and can't quite get air into your windpipe. Sometimes there's this fear of losing control or dying that's associated with it. So, first step is you got to kind of know yourself and know how it is that you respond to stressful situations. And I talked about how, all stress is not bad stress, because we can be stressed and it can be associated with things that are very positive going on in our lives. So it might be planning a wedding or planning a party or being in school and graduating or getting a new job and receiving a promotion. All of those things can also be stress-producing things, in addition to having people around you that are sick or dying, having to caretake for children or for adults. So, this is a time period for us to really, really get in tune with who it is that we are and how it is that we respond to the different stimuli that happens around us every single day.
Oh, that's good. Dr. Adrian, what do you say to seniors? Seniors, those who are elders who may be dealing with anxiety and stress. Sometimes they're worried about themselves. Sometimes fear of becoming infected, fear of death, fear and anxiety about their grandchildren and their children that they can't touch. Also, seniors dealing with just being alone and not being able to have people or visitors to come over. What do you say to our seniors?
You know, what I say to the seniors, Wanda, actually is what I say to everybody. You know, if you are a person of faith, you know, fear or faith, you got to pick a side because you cannot exist and operate inside of both of them. And, you know, for a lot of us, the reason that this is not as overwhelming is because some of the things that keep you safe are the things that, you know, we practice anyway. You know, I grew up with a mama who walks around with some bleach and water and will spray you in a heartbeat if she think that you got some on your feet that you dragging into her house or, you know, you know, that's just how she is. And so for a lot of people of faith, they are not experiencing the same level of fear because they believe in a higher power having control over all of this. You know, the people that I find who are struggling, number one, if you are a person who likes to be in control, this is certainly one of those times when you are recognizing just how little control you really do have in this world. You know, because, and look, and as an Aries, I like control. I like to control for the narrative. I like to be in control of my surroundings. But probably 20 years ago is when I had to start practicing relinquishing control because to try to control for so many things will cause you to be stressed and to have anxiety because there are so many things in this world that we don't have control of. You know, this is an opportunity for, you know, older people to come outside of their comfort zone as well and to get in touch with technology because it's so different for them that they don't realize that you can still reach out and touch your family members and your children without them even being present. You know, for all of us, Wanderlyn, it's about being willing to do something different. It's about accepting that we have changed, that has come to us in a way like never before. And the best thing that we can do is to embrace it and to figure out how to, you know, coexist with it.
Yeah, embrace change and coexist with it. Dr. Adrian here from Change Makers LLC. Coming up, she's going to talk to us about faith and how important it is to have faith and hope during this time. And also, we're going to talk about depression with Dr. Adrian. It's On Point with Wanderlyn Stokes, Radio News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
This is Pastor Sabrina McKenzie, founder of the National Task Force Against Domestic Violence. And you're listening to On Point with Wanderlyn Stokes on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Facts.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Now back to On Point with Wanderlyn Stokes. Live well, win well on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Just strange to act that way, but they don't understand. They don't get it. You're so magnetic, though.
Live well, win well. It's On Point with Wanderlyn Stokes right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We're talking with Dr. Adrian of Change Makers, a licensed professional counselor who's talking to us today and helping us to deal with our anxiety and fear amid the coronavirus pandemic. Dr. Adrian, you've spoken a lot about faith in a time of uncertainty. How important is it for one to have faith and hope?
You know, Wanderlyn, as a therapist, I give my clients the opportunity to decide whether or not they want to bring into the therapeutic process, you know, faith and the discussions of faith. And so okay. that's always an option that people have, because I let people know, you know, I don't hide the fact that I am a Christian and that I am a faith-filled person, because I've been through some things, and I yeah. know for a fact that the only way that I have managed to come through any of it is because of my faith. And, right. I, you know, raised Catholic and going to Mass during the week and going to Catholic schools, that sort of thing, it really gave me the foundation to have the relationship with God that I have today, because it taught me to seek Him on a regular basis, you know. And so even though we don't, you know, your relationship with your higher power is personal. And it does for you whatever it is, it does for you. But whether you are a Christian or a Buddhist or whatever it is that you believe in, just having a connection to something other than yourself, first of all, because, you know, to believe that you got the answers to all of life's problems is pretty arrogant. So having a connectedness to a faith in something other than yourself, a lot of times is what gets you through it, because again, it allows you to relinquish some control over some things and to say, you know what, I don't have all the answers, but I certainly am glad that God and the universe do, and that they already knew that this was coming long before it got here. So, you know, my faith is all I got. And I know that for a lot of African Americans, we have been faith-filled people, because when we were enslaved, it was what we had. It was what we had
yeah.
to look forward to celebrate one another and to just give us hope that brighter days were coming, and that whatever it is that we were going through that seemed so dark would not last forever.
Mm, that is so true. That is so true. Dr. Adrian, explain depression. And how does one know that they are depressed? How does it look?
So depression is a feeling of sadness, but, you know, it's also coupled. When we talk about clinical depression, we're talking about a loss of interest in your daily activities and routines. And so a lot of times we experience the blues. As human beings, we all experience the blues. And during the winter months, when we have less sunlight, we are all subject to being in a place of blueness. But when we talk about clinical depression, it looks a little different. So it's...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
An ongoing feeling of sadness and this loss of pleasure in what would just be your regular routine and activities. It could be coupled with a change in appetite. You could have weight loss or weight gain, a lot of insomnia associated with depression, as well as sleeping too much. You could have a loss of energy and an increased fatigue, which fatigue looks different from just being tired. Fatigue literally looks like an inability to move, where it just takes an effort to move any part of your body. And, you know, feeling guilty or feelings of worthlessness, having problems concentrating or difficulty thinking, and then, you know, when it is very extreme, thoughts of death or suicide. So, you know, depression is an extreme level of sadness when we start to talk about clinical depression.
Okay. What about the onset of sadness that comes as a result of bad news? So let's just say a person was just laid off, a person just got their test results back and it came back that they're infected with the virus. How should one deal with that sudden onset of sadness?
So here's the thing. Sadness and depression are not the same thing.
Okay.
And so we can experience sadness anytime that there is any type of grief or loss. And so I always say to individuals that I work with that you can grieve anything. It does not have to just be a death, because a lot of times we associate grief with death. So You can grieve, as you said, the loss of a job. Anytime something happens in your life that is outside of your control and outside of your norm, chances are you are going to grieve it. So, you know, we grieve the loss of relationships. We grieve, you know, you can grieve losing a favorite item that you are connected to that was perhaps given to you by someone that's dear to you, and misplacing that item and not being able to locate it can cause you to start to grieve the loss of that thing. So sadness and depression don't look the same. Sadness is very common, and it's not the same as depression. When you have this hopelessness and you have these thoughts of not being able to recover, sadness lasts as long as we allow sadness to last. We just have to make the decision that we want to come up out of it. Dealing with depression, it's not as easy to do that.
Clinical depression
is associated with a chemical imbalance, and sometimes you have to have some support in order to actually come out of depression. So, you know, there are risk factors that are associated with becoming depressed, and sometimes it's genetic, sometimes it's our personality, it can be environmental factors, and it can be biochemistry that deals with the chemistry inside of our brains that can cause symptoms of depression. So that's why, you know, depression and sadness just don't look the same.
How does one deal with grief, the loss of anything? How should one deal with it or cope with it?
Well, when you start talking about grief, you know, there are stages to grief. And so The first stage, you know, is usually shock and denial. So whatever it is that, you know, and we can take job loss, for example, because there are a lot of people right now who are experiencing that. You know, some of my very, very close friends, you know, I'm having to literally come off of Facebook and come out of some of my group chats, because some of the things that people are experiencing can become overwhelming for me as an empath, because you know, I carry a lot of people's emotions anyway. And so I'm having to kind of limit when I am willing to engage in some of those conversations and to look at some of that, because it can be a lot. So, you know, when you talk about job loss, for example, you know, when people started January of 2020, nobody saw this coming.
Right.
And that shock and denial piece is associated with the fact that, again, it's outside of your control. And so it's the what now, is this really happening? I can't believe this. And then that's usually followed by the next stage, which is anger. And, you know, that's that stage where you kind of piss off about what you got going on, because you didn't sign up for this anyway. You know? And then we kind of move into that bargaining piece where it's like, dog, if I had just done this, maybe this would be different. Or if I could just have one more conversation with somebody that now has left my life, or that, you know, and we kind of go through that back and forth typically with ourselves, but just trying to get to a place of acceptance that, okay, here's where I am. What is it that I can do about this?
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Adrian, she's kind of walking us through those stages of grief, and we're going to come back to her. She's going to finish that. And how do you live with people that you don't like? We're going to talk about that with Dr. Adrian coming up right here on Point with Wanda Stokes, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Live Well, Win Well is on point with Wanda and Stokes right here on News and Talk. We are 1380 WAOK. Dr. Adrian from Change Makers is on the lines with us. You were talking to us about this grief stages that individuals go through, whether they lose a loved one, lose a job, or lose an item that they can no longer find. And they go through these different stages. It could be denial and shock. It could be anger. It could be bargaining. What are some of the other stages that individuals go through when it comes to grief?
Well, you know, I've been in this profession for 26 years now. So, you know, mm-hmm. I was trained on the five stages of grief. You know, these people have come back now and done all these other stages. But, you know, that fourth stage is the depression piece.
Okay.
You know, after you have been shocked and in denial and you angry and pissed off and you didn't bargain, what could I have done different if I could just have one more conversation? And then it's where that sadness piece, that depression piece kind of hits. And it's a normal response to having a loss in your life. And what a lot of times people don't want to do, Wanderlyn, is they don't want to experience that part. And so
okay.
they try to rush themselves through it. But the thing about the stages of grief is that if you don't allow yourself to go through each of those stages, you get stuck. Which
okay.
is why I deal with people who have had people, for example, in their lives to die, and it's been years, but they're still in this place of anger
mm-hmm.
because they don't want to allow themselves to feel the sadness that's associated with that loss. But, you know, after you go through that stage of depression and, you know, not really want to deal with people, not want to talk about it, you know, whatever your process is when you can then start to get to that place of acceptance that this is what it is. It's not going to change from this.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that you did could have prevented this from occurring, whatever the this is, and that you can just be okay with your new reality.
Okay. Okay. That's good. We have a caller on the line who has a question for you.
Okay.
Hello. Welcome to On Point. You have a question for our guest?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes. You have a question for our guest?
Yes, I have.
Already
I want to know, because my son hasn't been able to get me the material. He's given me everything I've ever talked about from years ago, which I still say the media, which is the television to me, is still a learning tool that people are not looking at what they're supposed to be. Anyway, I wanted him to find out about strep throat, because at the time, I don't understand how my roommates, when I was at Albany State College, didn't come up with it from what I, when I had it, when I had strep throat, and I don't ever run to the doctor when something is wrong with me. And I remember my house mother telling me that she had called the dean of students, which had been my sister's dean over at Spelman, but I never got the chance to even talk to her about what the situation had happened that night. Before that next morning when I had strep throat. Overnight, I got it. Do you feel that, let me ask her this, is it worse than the virus that's going on now?
All right. Thank you so much for your question. Dr. Adrian, you want to handle that?
Well, you know, I'm not a medical doctor. So, mm-hmm. you know, I like to tell people I'm a behaviorist. So that's, you know, that's one of those questions for a medical doctor. And, you know, Of what I know about viruses is that, you know, there are people who never catch certain things because their immune system, all of our immune systems are different.
Yeah.
So I take tons of herbal remedies every single day. You know, I just take herbs as a part of my health practice. And so I think because of that, it helps to build up my immune system. And,
yeah.
you know, I was saying to someone earlier this week, because number one, I believe that they work because our mind and how we think about things is going to dictate how those things manifest in our lives. So I take all these herbs every single day. I'm not somebody who gets sick. I've never had a flu shot. Don't intend to take a flu shot. Because I just don't believe that we should, you know, putting things into our body is the way to go. I think that God provided us with herbs and flowers and trees and everything that we need to heal naturally. And so that is what I practice. But in terms of how we get viruses and catch different things, it has to do with the difference in our immune systems. And that's what keeps some people from getting things that other people are more susceptible to.
That is so true. Dr. Adrian, a lot of people are quarantined. They're contained. They're at home and working from home, living at home, eating at home, homeschooling. How do you live with someone that you don't like? You're married to them. You have you have an outside relationship. Now you can't go and get with that other person. You don't like your spouse. Your children getting on your everlasting nerves. How do you deal with living with people and being contained with people that you just don't like?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that this whole pandemic is forcing people to really identify who they like and who they love and whether or not the people that they love, they like. And a lot of times what they are finding is that I love this person, but I don't like a lot of the things about this person. And there are things about their, you know, behaviors that I just don't like. And so when you are in a situation where you are sequestered or quarantined with people that are getting on your nerves, you've got to find some time for yourself. Just as a basic matter of self-care, is how do I find time away from those people so that, you know, I'm not yelling and screaming at them and they're not yelling and screaming at me. But the other part that I recommend to people is to concentrate on what it is that's right and good about a person as opposed to what it is that you don't like. Because a lot of times, that is where we place our effort. And it's, these are the things that I don't like about you. And so where we pay attention is what we grow. And so if we concentrate our efforts more on the positives about a person and what it is that we do like about them, probably going to help us to sustain that relationship a lot better.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Dr. Adrian, I'm going to ask you this final question. What do we do with the OCD people? Those that are already OCD, and now we have this virus. Is that a disorder? Is that...
You know, the thing about being OCD, you know, I think about it in terms of what we currently have going on around us, those people are probably better off than some of the rest of us.
You're probably right.
By nature of their disability, their illness, they have practices in place depending on what you are OCD about. Because everybody that has OCD, it's not about cleaning, okay? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times that's what it's associated with. People think that it's about cleaning and organizing. You can be OCD about a lot of different things.
Okay.
But in terms of those people who practice it because they are germaphobes, for example, those people are fine because they're going to keep doing the same stuff that they've been doing, putting on a hazmat suit. You know, the guy that is the celebrity, that's the comedian, Howie Mandel. You know, he's a germaphobe, and he has been a self-proclaimed germaphobe for a very, very long time. And, you know, he's doing some interviews, and he says he's in a really good place because now y'all know he ain't the crazy one. And y'all should have been practicing some of the stuff that he's been practicing. So, you know, I think that people who are OCD about cleanliness and germs and that sort of thing are probably better off because they were probably practicing some of the things that other people were looking at and saying, oh, my God, that is so over the top, or you're so obsessive about that. They probably looking at the rest of us like, uh-huh, y'all should have been doing some of the same stuff. You know, my brother and I were laughing because, you know, I don't use other people's pens, and I have not used other people's pens in well over 20 years. And it was just something that I started practicing because I said, I don't know where your pen has been. So I don't share pens with people. And I always have pens that are specific to me. And mm-hmm. are probably going to be a nicer pen that might have my name on it or my sorority or something. And then I will carry pens in my purse that I can give away. Because once you get it, I don't want it back. Because, you know, you can be somewhere and somebody will say, you know, can I borrow your pen? And I'll say, hold on for a second. I'll go in my purse. I'll hand them one. And then I'll say to them, oh, no. You keep that because you need to always have a pen on you. I do the same thing in my office. I have pens for me and I have pens for my clients should they come in there and need to sign a document and not have their own pen. But once they use it, it is to you. I don't want it to stay in here. I want you to go on and take it.
Go ahead on and take that pen with you. Dr. Adrian is sharing with us. We're going to come back and ask Dr. Adrian about boredom. Some of you are bored. And also, we're going to ask her about domestic violence during this time. Stick around. Dr. Adrian, right here on News and Talk, 1380 WAOK.
She's not new to this. She is true to this. On Point with Wandel and Stokes. Live well, win well. On News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
To complain, but the stain's in the game.
And what's your name?
I'm consequent to type, burn like flame.
Well, why's that?
American dream, they got the ghetto kid in the fame.
Don't stress that, cause it's not in your bloodstream. Your whole being comes from greatness. You remember, Jayton got you caught in the storms of December.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK. It's On Point with Wandel and Stokes. We have the one and the only Dr. Adrian, licensed professional counselor and owner of Change Maker. She has her own podcast, Couch Versations. Oh, I know that's good. And also, you know, you can also follow her, but she'll tell you about that shortly. But Dr. Adrian, there are a lot of people who are bored. How should one deal with boredom?
Well, you know, I am saying to everyone that this is really an opportunity for a reset, because a lot of times we talk about what we don't have time to do. And if we had more time, we would get involved in all of these things. And so the great thing about going through this pandemic at a time such as this is that technology is allowing us to do so many things. You've got all these different museums that are allowing for virtual tours. You know, to me, Wanda, we got more opportunity to do stuff than we actually got time in the day to do it. Because there's a lot of free resources out here that have never been free before. So, you know, anybody that's saying that they're bored, I don't know how they could possibly be bored, because this is a great opportunity to start a new hobby. You know, everything that it is that you said you wanted to do, make changes in your household, learn, you know, a trade. There are a lot of opportunities to even take free classes and certifications. I mean, things are opening up in a way that, you know, it makes me wonder, well, why couldn't some of all this stuff have been free? Why did it take for us to be in a crisis for things to be availed to us? You know, so it's really a good opportunity for a redo in so many ways in our lives.
Oh, that's good. So it's all the way in which people look at things and the way they approach it.
It's always about your attitude, about the things that are going on around you. And that dictates how successfully you will manage it. And I say that to my clients all the time. Stuff happens to everybody. Stuff is going to continue to happen. And stuff that you can't control and anticipate will continue to happen. So it's not the stuff that happens. It's about how you act about the stuff that happens.
I like that. It's not about the stuff that happens, but how you act about the stuff. I like that, Dr. Adrian. Statistics have shown that during the midst of this coronavirus, that domestic violence numbers has drastically increased. Why do you think that is happening?
Well, you know, the research about domestic violence is interesting. And one thing about it, you know, nothing is an exact science. So research is just that. It's numbers that are based on the people who are surveyed. So you don't have a survey of everybody because you are not surveying everyone. But, you know, based on the way that domestic violence happens, you know, research shows that people who have been exposed to domestic violence are the ones who are more likely to perpetuate this as a part of their lifestyle and who it is that they are. So I find it interesting that people are saying that there's an increase in domestic violence because there is probably just more of an awareness of it because you probably have more people who are having to reach out and utilize support lines and help lines because being confined to your home, you don't have the ability to separate from somebody that might be your abuser. So I don't really know that there's really an increase of it or just a more of an awareness because there are more support systems out here that are being utilized. But, you know, what I would say to somebody that is in that situation, you know, it's the same thing that we always say to people who are in domestic violence situations. You have to have your safe haven and you have to have your support system and, you know, your escape plan to keep yourself safe. And so despite the fact that there is this virus that is going around, nobody should stay in a situation that is abusive and unhealthy. You got to get yourself to a safe place.
Oh, that's good, Dr. Adrian. What do you say to those who are finding it difficult to sleep, finding it difficult to rest? They're having restless nights, just not able. And I know that can be as a result of several things that's happening with an individual. But what do you say to those who are experiencing sleeplessness?
Well, you know, I am going to be doing a series on this perimenopausal stuff for the women who are, you know, of that age of 35 to, you know, sometimes even up to 65 because being perimenopausal can last 20 years and beyond. And so a lot of the symptoms that are associated with depression and anxiety can also mirror what it is that women experience when their hormones start to change, but also what men can start to experience, because I have gotten an increase in the number of males who are doing telemental health. And I am so proud of the brothers who are reaching out and utilizing the service. And I don't know if it's because it just makes them feel better because they're still looking at me. You're just looking at me over a computer.
Right.
But I am seeing an increase in the number of men who are now reaching out and utilizing mental health counseling to help them get through whatever it is that they're going through. And I said to a gentleman on yesterday, I said a lot of times, you know, people jokingly refer to it as a midlife crisis for a man. And it is a midlife crisis because you all's hormones change just like our hormones change. So people who are experiencing sleeplessness, you know, and especially during a time like this, a lot of people are working from home. And it's sort of like being out on break, you know, or during the summer. We change our sleeping habits to adjust to the fact that we've got more time, more free time to do the things that we want to do. And we have to be, you know, aware of the fact that the body still requires a certain number of hours to sleep to function at its best. So we want to make sure that you are still getting the proper rest. And, you know, this is a great opportunity to exercise. And I think that for the majority of us, we've spent the first couple of weeks doing more eating of junk food than we have of exercising.
So right.
We're trying to turn that thing around because, you know, the governor and the president have already said, all right, we're going to go through a whole nother month of this.
So right.
We've had a couple of weeks of eating. We need to have a whole bunch more weeks of exercising because exercising also helps to increase our hormone levels that help us to sleep better.
That's good. That's so good.
Yeah. You know, and then if you want to try, you know, I take baths and I use aromatherapy and I use, you know, apps that have white noise or sound so that
it,
because all of those things are sleep producing things, because I, you know, I've never been big on sleep. Even when I was in college, I was somebody who was up, you know, knocking on people's doors on a Saturday, getting on their nerves because they were like laying in bed sleep. So I've just never been a big sleeper. And as I'm getting older, I'm having to do more things that will promote me sleeping better.
That's good. That's good. Dr. Adrian, how can people get in touch with you and connect with you?
Well, my office number is 404-766-2211. My website is www.dradrienne, and that's DRADRIENNE.com. And on Couchversations on Facebook, Couchversations with Dr. Adrienne. So, you know, they can hit me up. We are, I am probably expanding my circle more than I normally would because I stay pretty busy. So what this quarantine has done for me is it has slowed me down as well. And, you know, and I'm thankful and just trying to take it all in.
I know that's
make sure
right.
I don't miss anything.
Well, Dr. Adrienne, thank you so much. Oh,
you're so
you have just been awesome. You've been awesome. You've been amazing. And we appreciate all of your insight, all of your words of wisdom, and just your professional advice. We thank you so much. Listen, make sure you follow and stay connected to Dr. Adrienne, dradrienne.com, or you can call our office, 404-766-2211. Follow on Facebook, Couchversations with Dr. Adrienne. Hey, wish you well, and keep doing all that you're doing, Dr. Adrienne. I love you, my
sister.
Thank
you so much. I love you as well. Take care. Be safe.
All right. You too. Thank you. It is On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes. We're always keeping you on point. It is News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.